When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
If you're wondering where the 49ers were going to pick up after a devastating loss in overtime in the Super Bowl, the answer is things are looking good. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Supposedly, they were going up against a top five defense last night, Perloff, with no Christian McCaffrey. And while they couldn't find the end zone a lot, only 2 for 5 in the red zone when it comes to touchdowns, 5 field goals from their kicker Moody, and they were kind of cruising. I mean, they scored on 8 straight drives. Purdy looked good. And when you have somebody like Jordan Mason who can just pick up exactly where Christian McCaffrey left off with 147 rushing yards on 28 carries, you are going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, they never let the Jets get a pass rush going.
Yep.
So that kind of neutralized one of the Jets' big strengths. And remember how the Jets win, beat some of these good teams as they get their quarterback to eventually make a mistake. Purdy never got in the place where he could make a dangerous mistake. Kept handing the ball off. Perfect game plan. Also, you did see the magic of Kyle Shanahan last night. I mean, that dude can call plays.
Yeah. This was the weird part on a quick thing on the broadcast where Joe Buck, who clearly had talked to, you know, Kyle Shanahan and clearly has a bit of a relationship with him, said something interesting. He said, you know, Kyle Shanahan, if you gave him truth serum or something, like, he kind of relishes these challenges of being able to play and win without Christian McCaffrey and whether the run game can be so good without McCaffrey. And I get it. Every coach likes a challenge, I guess. If you can be this effective with Jordan Mason or Elijah Mitchell or Raheem Mostert or other guys, why were they in such a rush to extend and give more money to Christian McCaffrey when you have all these other guys who need to get paid? I get it. McCaffrey is very, very good. He's the best of the best. But you have other needs and other areas that need money. I was a little surprised to hear Joe Buck say that.
Wait, I saw you said that on social media, and I don't totally understand what you're saying. Because Joe Buck said Kyle Shanahan wants to prove tonight that he can win without McCaffrey.
Right.
Like, yeah, no duh, right? Like, the opposite is prove that he can't win without McCaffrey. Like, I think it was it was an expression. Like, it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything in the team building sense. Like, yeah, Shanahan would love to prove tonight that he can get it done without. Like, yeah, they, you know, your best player goes down. You want to prove that the rest of the team can step up and win the game. That's kind of like common sense.
Well, I understand it, but I'm just asking then, I'm not saying that McCaffrey's not worth it and they traded for him and they went to an NFC championship game and then went to a Super Bowl. Again, I'm not saying he's not worth it, but in this Shanahan offense, yeah, where you can take several undrafted free agents, we've seen it over and over and over again, and you can find a specific type of guy and they can do this Christian McCaffrey impersonation where it looks like Christian McCaffrey karaoke, where he's doing the same thing and putting the same pressure on the defense. And again, this is allegedly a very good defense in the Jets. He wasn't walking over some blob, you know, crap defense. I'm just wondering, what was the rush to pay McCaffrey? Why, if you keep him on the team for 2 more years, why did you extend him for 2 more after that and give him a $4 million raise on top of it?
I totally understand your logic there, and it's a great question. That's why no one else pays running backs, because everyone thinks they're generic, right?
Yeah, do you think that the Chiefs are going to extend Isaiah Pacheco? No, they're going to find the next Isaiah Pacheco.
They might extend Pacheco. They kind of, like, you know how the Niners love Brock Purdy because they got him late in the draft? I feel like the Chiefs love Pacheco for the same reason.
We'll see.
I think, though, what's confusing me is, like, Joe Buck was not making any kind of, you're like surprised, you make it sound like he's a GM of the Niners. He was just making an offhanded comment, which I think you're like, you're surprised Joe Buck would say that.
No.
Like you almost like he got information from Shanahan.
Let's take away the fact that Joe Buck said it. Let's just see what we saw on the field.
Right, but here's the thing, McCaffrey's also a receiver. And
so was Jordan Mason last night. He had an ability to catch the ball. They talked about how he
Jordan
got
Mason
the Chugs machine
catch.
And how he, you know, he needs to become a bigger part of the offense.
He had one catch. It was a key third down, but he had one catch. I mean, McCaffrey over time is the best receiving running back in the league. He's awesome. And honestly, I think I heard an interesting point on McCaffrey that they will transition him more toward a slot receiver as his career goes on to save him. He's unbelievable. He runs around like his dad. He can run a route like a receiver. I think that's one of the reasons that he's so valuable. And they paid him, what, $19 million?
Yeah, they gave him a raise of $4 million. Again,
which is kind of average receiver pay.
Okay, but it's drawn out. It's this long, drawn-out process with Trent Williams and with Brandon Ayuk and last year with Nick Bosa and before that with Deebo Samuel. And you've had these things that have lasted whole training camps. McCaffrey, they just gave him the money. And you could argue that that's the last position that actually they should be really investing in, because Kyle Shanahan can get production from a lot of different places when it comes to the run game.
Right, but they gave those other guys a lot more money.
That's true. Juwan Jennings, they gave a lot of money to.
Yeah. Well, Juwan Jennings, they
got a little raise.
$15 million or something. But obviously, like, look at what Ayuk got. So you're telling me Ayuk is $10 million per year better than Christian McCaffrey? That's one thing about McCaffrey, is it's not going to break the bank. The funny thing, too, is like they seem to be able to afford all these guys.
Isn't that the irony? 855-212-4227. On the flip side with Aaron Rodgers, felt a little like starts and fits. You know, we saw a really good drive. The third drive of the game was just chef's kiss from the Jets. It was Breece Hall running and receiving. It was Garrett Wilson catching passes on the sidelines. It was all the good things you want to see with the Jets, but we saw it in a very limited amount. Mostly because they just didn't have the ball. They only had 20 minutes of possession on offense, and Aaron Rodgers didn't even play the last 4 minutes of the game. He didn't play the last possession. It was Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I don't blame Rodgers at all, because he had no chance. Like, you got to get the ball in your hand. You got to get some rhythm going. He hadn't played preseason. This was okay. What did you expect?
Well, this was disappointing,
but not for Rodgers. Were you disappointed in Aaron Rodgers' performance?
I wasn't, because he made it through and upright, but I feel like the Jets were, I think there was a lot of hope that this game was going to look a lot different. You and I both took the points in this game. I think there was not an expectation, but just this, like, everyone's kind of chomping at the bit to see what the Jets were going to look like, because it's been optimistic yet understated in this sort of quiet confidence kind of way with the Jets this year. It's not been overly in your face. There's no hard knocks this year, no Super Bowl declarations. Aaron Rodgers has been here for a while now, and you kind of thought they were just going to put on a better performance last night. I mean, they got basically blown out.
But I honestly think the Jets fans probably think, well, that was a bad performance by our defense, but we're not worried about our defense after one game. You basically have all these good players. You have Robert Saleh, a good defensive coach. I would honestly be more relieved that Aaron Rodgers looked comfortable and can still sling it. I would walk away from that game feeling okay, because I'm not panicking. How can you panic about the Jets? Yeah, they ran into the Niners in San Francisco. The Niners, who seem to be on a little bit of a mission after all that bulletin board material about them in the offseason, about them being disorganized and a mess. And Grant Cohn reported that the owners were sick of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Who knows if that was actually true? I think there was a little bit of extra incentive for the Niners. And if I walk away from that game, the Jets, I mean, are you really panicked that you're going to have a guy go for 150 yards against you every week? That's not going to happen. The Jets defense is going to be good, because they were so good last year, and they still have Sauce Gardner, who's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of weapons there. I just think that this is an encouraging sign for Aaron Rodgers. 13 for 21, 167, one touchdown and one interception, which was a bit of a fluke.
Yep.
So basically played really two quarters of football. I mean, if you project that, if he gets 30 minutes on offense, he's going to have some good numbers there.
855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on what we saw last night, let's hit the M&P 500.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Okay, bro. Now that week one is fully in the books,
let's
do a little stock up, stock down. I'll let you go first. Whose stock is up today?
I'm actually going to college, if that's okay.
Go ahead. I got a lot of college ones.
So for me, the stock up, the guy who really stood out as totally poised and comfortable quarterback, Quinn Ewers. Against Michigan, 24 for 36, 246 yards, 3 touchdowns. What impressed me was he moved a lot. He basically, he didn't move to run necessarily, but he moved to get open to pass the ball. I think this might be an overreaction. He did enough to quiet any Arch Manning noise that you might hear. Mm. And that's probably a big deal for Texas. They just looked really talented. They lost some really good players offensively, and it didn't skip a beat. I'm feeling really good about Quinn Ewers. Put him back up on my non-existent mock draft right now, but it feels like any people are not sure about him with the draft. Now it feels like all of a sudden I'm seeing a lot of buzz already after that performance.
That's a good one. You're right. Quinn Ewers' stock certainly up. I'm going to go to the NFL first, but also to a quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield's stock is very much up. Now, we're doing this like today, this week. Very good performance against the Washington Commanders, but on top of it, we weren't sure because his offensive coordinator was leaving and whether he has a new offensive coordinator in Liam Cohen and how is it going to go and these question marks. Baker looked great. 4 touchdowns against the Commanders. But on top of that, because of all the dysfunction that's going on in Cleveland that made it even worse today with the allegations against Deshaun Watson, things are just sort of melting down in Cleveland. They're longing for the days of Baker Mayfield. And so for that, Baker Mayfield stock up.
Yeah, Buck's schedule gets a lot harder. Commanders might be terrible in defense, but I agree. And it's so fun, too, to watch him now because when he's doing well, he's entertaining. Okay, stock down. Pretty obvious, but I think it's worth continuing to pile on him. Will Levis in Tennessee. There was 2 terrible plays at the end where he had a fumble that let the Bears score, and then he threw a ridiculous interception. Honestly, I don't think he looked good the rest of the game either. I know the Bears have a good defense with Matt Eberflus, but they made him look incompetent. He was 19 for 32, 127 yards on the game. You have so much invested in your wide receiver room. Dude, you got to get it out for more than 127 yards in week one. I am way down on Will Levis.
Yep.
I would think about short leash and going to Mason Rudolph, who had some success at the end of last year in Pittsburgh.
Not a bad thought, quite frankly. Okay, my stock down. I'm going to go to Colorado. Deion, Shador. The only person whose stock isn't down is Travis Hunter. He's the best player on the field. You go into Nebraska, that was going to be a tough task anyway. But I know the final score didn't look like they got blown out, but it didn't feel like they were ever really in the game. They can't get a yard on offense. I mean, we talk about wanting to showcase Shador and throw the ball. You have to have some kind of a run game. Every good quarterback will tell you the run game's the best friend of the quarterback.
Yep.
And they've completely ignored that, even though they brought in a kid from Ohio State. But the offensive line is still not fixed. So, and also, we know the offensive line isn't good, but that's for us to say. I'm not saying that the coach and the players should lie to everybody, but everyone's got to take accountability for the offensive line not being good. You know, you don't see guys coming out and saying that's the problem. And Deion basically did say that's the problem. And Shador kind of didn't back his guys up either. So I think everything's just kind of, let's say, a cloud over Colorado. It's not that bad, but stock definitely down.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Do we have time for one more stock up? Stock
down? Let's do it.
Okay. Stock up. NFL running backs.
Oh, I know.
They have been beleaguered, but we had a bunch go for over 100 this week. Kenneth Walker III, Saquon Barkley, Ramondre Stevenson, Lamar Jackson. I'm looking at the top stats.
Yeah.
6 running backs went over 100. Sorry. J.K. Dobbins. Oh, my God. J.K. Dobbins. What a revelation for the Chargers. Then Jordan Mason last night and Joe Mixon. If Joe Mixon keeps that up, the Texans are going deep into the playoffs. Incredible. And there are a lot of other running backs who did really well. The NFL seems to be, swinging back to the run game a little bit. It was week one. Obviously, quarterbacks are rusty after not having a preseason. This was a statement. We said Jim Harbaugh is coming to the NFL and he wants to run the ball. Now he seems like everybody wants to run the ball. To me, the most impressive guy, if I wanted to pick one, Joe Mixon. He looked like a second-year player. I haven't seen his legs look that fresh in a long time. And it makes him very scary.
We're doing the M&P 500. Whose stock is up and whose stock is down now that week one fully in the books and week two for college? I'm going to go with one that might be a little obvious, but I think it deserves to be pointed out. Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. Stock up. We talked all offseason. Are they on the hot seat? Are they both going to be out next year? And McCarthy still doesn't have a contract extension, but Dak Prescott gets paid. 4 years, 240. He's the highest paid player in the NFL, period. Then goes out and looks very good against the Cleveland Browns, who we actually thought were going to be good. You got Tom Brady on the broadcast praising Mike McCarthy and how great his play calling is and how awesome he is. Glow up, stock up, Dallas Cowboys quarterback and coach together.
Okay, stock down. Yep. I'm going to go with a man named David Tepper. Now, he probably could buy me and sell me many times over, but it's starting to dawn on me. Maybe it's not the coach of Carolina, Maggie. Maybe I was so high on Dave Canales, but same old, same old. That team, not only are they terrible on offense, they lost their best defender, Derek Brown. They're terrible on defense. They made Derek Carr look like Patrick Mahomes. There's such an obvious case of organizational dysfunction here. And what happened in week one just sends that message home again. Panthers owner David Tepper, I don't know a way out for Panthers fans.
I mean, ironically, his portfolio is probably way up. But on this show, his stock is way down.
Yeah. Let's be clear. His NFL owner stock. Yeah. His actual stock is way up.
He probably just made $1 billion since we've been doing the start of the hour.
And by the way, I don't know if he owns our company. So if he does, I take that out of the podcast.
He might. When you get to those high levels, I mean, who really knows?
He probably doesn't even know what's in his portfolio.
Do any of us? Final stock down for me. Rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. Not a great debut. Let's pause on the gold jackets for Caleb Williams, for Jaden Daniels, and for Bo Nix. Daniels is probably the best because he was able to use his legs. Caleb Williams got the win, so maybe he gets a little cover. Bo Nix wasn't particularly effective. They're going to really have to hold his hand through this season. J.J. McCarthy's hurt, obviously. Michael Penix is on the bench. Those are the first rounders. All right, guys. I need to pick it up here.
Nowhere to go but up, Maggie. I mean, honestly, Caleb Williams couldn't possibly have a worse game.
He didn't even break 100 yards passing.
Yeah. This is...
And Robodunze's hurt.
If you had to power rank them... we did our rookie rankings, and I don't think either of us had a quarterback.
No.
I think there's a battle. Who is better? I think Jaden Daniels was the best, with Bo Nix the second best.
Caleb the third.
Or do you want to put the guys who didn't play as the best?
At least there's a little mystery still. They might be good.
You read me a tweet. Mina Kimes said Michael Penix had the best week because Kirk Cousins looked like he was having a tough time in Atlanta. Yeah, I actually like Jaden Daniels. I think the final score did not indicate how good that offense was. Their defense is terrible. Remember, they got rid of Montez Sweat and all their good players.
Yeah.
But I think Jaden Daniels is going to be okay.
The fact that he can run for first downs is going to help. You know, you can extend the drive with your legs, but no, none of them were good. Stock down on all of them. But again, it was only 1 week. 855-212-4227. Coming up in the next segment, Amy Dash, Odyssey legal expert, will join us. We're going to unpack what happened with Tyreek Hill and the police. We're going to unpack what Deshaun Watson is now facing from yet another accuser who is alleging sexual assault. So we got a lot for our legal analyst, Amy Dash, who is fabulous. We'll do that next. Maggie.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We're about to have legal expert Amy Dash on the show. A lot of questions about Tyreek Hill and Deshaun Watson. Let's get to some updates first. Andrew Bogish, what do you got?
I got the Jets. Their run game had as much success last night against the Niners that Maggie and her son had in the corn maze Sunday morning.
That's
what Nick Bosa wanted after San Francisco.
I'd still be in there. I'm sorry. If there's a chance I would still be in that maze with my child, just be like, Mommy, let's get out. I mean, I had to call them and say, I'm stuck in your maze.
Your son had scratches on his face from breaking through the corn in a corn maze.
I know.
I was actually thinking about that yesterday. God, that's funny. I'm so sorry. But
he had to, like, bushwhack through the corn.
He's never going to eat corn again.
So I brought it up again just to see it. Like, my mom came over yesterday and I told her the story. I was like, hey, Lucas, tell Nanny where we were, you know, the other day. I said about the corn maze and, like, he went white. I was like, oh, no. I did something bad here. These are like bad core memories. I shouldn't be laughing. He was scared.
Bad core memories. By the way, I don't know. Is that an Inside Out reference?
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. He got real quiet.
I was like, oh no, he's going to remember this. I did permanent damage.
A single tear rolled down his cheek.
Where's it going to be when Bing Bong gave himself up and made me cry and inside out one? Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm starting to wonder about your competence as a parent, to be honest.
Now you're starting to wonder? Just now? Not all the other
things?
You
do seem to come in with a story about your son every day.
I know.
Like, you're not, I think you're entertaining and telling these stories, but you could look at it through a different lens. You're somewhat incompetent as a parent at times.
I know. This is the part
where
I hate...
You're a very loving parent.
Well, thank you. I make up for it in love.
You need to.
Donuts and ice cream.
A lot of bribes. I hate to be like the stereotype, but I was like, man, I was saying this to Bogus yesterday. I'm like, I hate to fall into like the woman stereotype, like that I have no sense of direction. Because I think people say that a lot about women. Quiet. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. And what did I say yesterday? I said it was the maze's fault. If the maze, because they
just
didn't
make me feel better.
They know, but they took your call as if they've gotten a million of them. They weren't like, my God, someone's stuck. They were like, just walk to the right, look for the tree line. So they have an answer for this, which means their maze is hard.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard, guys.
No.
I want to drive out to this maze and check it out. I actually wonder, too, you could be distracted, Maggie. I was wondering, were you watching a game on your phone while you were and didn't notice a left turn or the right turn?
I wish I had an excuse like that. It's just turning
Listen to
us
the
in
Lions'
circles.
Third preseason game on the radio again?
I do think.
I do love them.
When you, some of the times you run into problems as a parent, I think you try and squeeze a lot into your time.
Yeah, well, I'm a roomer, so I do try to get a lot out of my time with my kids.
No, just in life. I feel like you're often multitasking. Does that come off as too mean?
Are we all?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'd love
But I can see yourself being distracted by something in the corn maze and losing your way.
I'm setting my fantasy lineup.
Yeah. The real story. will come out.
Mom was on DraftKings again. Here I was on Prize Picks. Sheesh, Mom.
Oh, God, the visual. If this was a TV show, you'd go in and 15 minutes pass and you'd come back looking like you were on Survivor for 6 months or something.
Anyone, a grain of rice.
Help us.
We're famished.
Oh,
all right, sorry, back to you.
Where were we? All right, the Jets couldn't run. That's exactly what Nick Bosa wanted after San Francisco struggled in run defense a year ago.
It's always a number one focus every single year, especially with our D-line scheme and the way we play our linebackers. So, we take a lot of pride in it, and last year we weren't as good as we needed to be, so we had to improve.
The Jets ran for just 68 yards. That's 3.6 carry. The Niner offense had no such issues, even with Christian McCaffrey surprisingly sitting out thanks to that bad calf.
7-minute drive under center, Purdy for the Niners from the 5 of the Jets. Second down goal. Gets the snap. Handoff. Mason over the right tackle. Touchdown. Broken tackle at the goal line. And caroms off that body in for a 5-yard San Francisco touchdown run.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. Jordan Mason with that touchdown. 147 yards total and easily his biggest game as a pro, filling in for McCaffrey. The Niners were actually down 7-3 after one last night before winning 32-19. That included a garbage time TD from the Jets. Aaron Rodgers watching the final minutes after 167 yards, a touchdown, and a pick in his first full game as a Jet.
Obviously, wanted to, take a shot and feel, the physicality of it. Once I, threw a couple balls and took a shot, I felt good. Felt like I was into the game.
But his offense only ran 49 plays last night, just 21 minutes of possession. As usual, there are injury updates from Sunday. Rams receiver Puka Nacua is going on IR. Will have to miss at least 4 games with a sprained right PCL. He aggravated that on Sunday night in Detroit. The Browns are calling tight end David Njoku week to week with an ankle injury. And Josh Allen cleared to play Thursday against the Dolphins after hurting his left hand in Sunday's win over the Cardinals. Let's check now on the NL wildcard picture. The top two teams, the Padres and Diamondbacks, did not play last night. The Mets rallied for a 3-2 win in Toronto, so they're a game behind Arizona, 1.5 behind San Diego, and they have a 1-game lead in the Braves for the last playoff spot. Atlanta losing a makeup game to the Reds 1-0. Cincy righty and Fordham product Nick Martinez, retiring 17 Braves in a row at one point. And the World Anti-Doping Agency just announced this morning it will not appeal the decision to clear Yannick Sinner of his failed PED test from earlier this year. A tribunal agreed with Sinner's story that a physio had a banned substance on his hands when he gave Sinner a massage, which is how a minuscule amount of that substance got in Sinner's system. He just won the U.S. Open under some suspicion, but now WADA is moving on.
It's funny. You don't normally say what college pitchers go to.
I did not. I do not. That's true. There's only one from...
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, one. A guy from my high school is in the majors, too, so we'll get to that one day as well, maybe.
Yeah. There's a lot of bragging about college baseball in this today's show. Did I mention Brad Ausmus went to my alma mater, Dartmouth?
If you want to get that in, the John Flaherty went to GW. We could just go around and around.
Michael Kay went
to Florida. That's all I got. I'm out, by the way.
You mentioned about the Yannick Sinner and the WADA thing, the World Anti-Doping Agency. So the so you're telling me, Stephen A. Voice, that the masseuse had a banned substance, some of it on their hands, and that got onto them enough to trigger a positive test.
So the story is that this guy had an ointment on his hand that he was personally using to treat a cut. And in massaging Yannick Sinner, who apparently has psoriasis or some other skin condition, the cream got in the cut and triggered the positive test. And it was this. Now, this is again from Sinner's camp. The positive, and I bet you can confirm this. The amount that triggered the positive test was like 58 billionth of something. It was like smaller than a grain of rice.
Yeah.
So it kind of lines up that it was accidental. Andy Roddick said that the other day, if he was actually cheating, this would have been the worst cheating plan ever, which is not really a way to defend yourself, but there is logic to that no one would do this trying to gain an advantage.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
murder
board stays up.
All right.
Don't sound convinced, Maggie.
No. My best defense is just look at Yannick Sinner.
Yeah, but not everyone's doing Winstrol, Pearl. Right? It's not the 80s.
I don't know how many home runs is he in.
He's a German swimmer.
You have to admit, he is pretty skinny for an elite. Even for an elite tennis player, that dude is skinny.
This is a weird body image thing. You keep telling me how skinny guys are.
Well, I watched Sinner versus Medvedev.
Sorry, bro.
I don't know. It's
he's
just
not
like,
listening.
He's an unusual body type because he's so skinny and got such a fast serve. Nobody notices that with Sinner?
It's all about timing and leverage. Yeah, Nick's
not skinny, so I can't help you.
Nick's got a mouthful of bagel telling you he's not skinny. If that wasn't on the nose, what else is? Well, if only we could just keep joking and joking and joking all morning, we would gladly do so. But, Bogus, thank you. We have a couple of serious stories that we need to address. And for that, we turn to one of our absolute favorites, someone who has helped explain to us some very prickly situations in the past. And that is Amy Dash, who is Odyssey's legal expert and joins us now on the phone. Amy, thanks so much. How you been? Great to hear from you.
Oh, same here. How are you guys?
You know,
I missed you guys.
I know we missed you too. And, you know, we feel we only really talk when something bad has happened. But we wanted to get your thoughts on a couple stories. The first is Tyreek Hill. So obviously, I'm sure you've seen the body cam footage now. We all know the story that he gets detained on his way to the stadium on Sunday. So from the legal lens, what did you see? Did you see a person who was being uncooperative with police, or did you see the police being overly aggressive? How do you think the law would come down on this?
Well, the law requires that he obey the commands of the police officer. And one of the rules that applies to all people that are pulled over by police officers is they have to keep their window rolled down. They don't have to keep it rolled down all the way. If he were to roll it down halfway or three quarters of a way, just so that the police officer, especially since his window was tinted, could see what was going on, could exchange documents, could issue commands that he would then need to obey, not all of them, but within the parameters of the law. The fact that he continuously rolled his window all the way up and it was dark, that would sort of trigger the ability for the police officer to remove him from the car if he continued not to comply for safety reasons. And that's exactly what happened. Now, whether the police officers used excessive force that wasn't proportionate, that's probably what's being investigated. Were they too forceful in removing him from the car? But were his hands up? Was he getting out of the car the minute that they asked him to? It's a little bit dicey as to whether they should have been as aggressive. And, of course, there's that question of, like, would they have been as aggressive with somebody who is white versus somebody who is black? You know, that's all going to be investigated. But I think there was absolutely cause to remove him from the vehicle if you follow the law.
Amy, what are Tyreek Hill's legal options if he does want to make a bigger deal out of this?
Well, he could try to sue for, like, intentional infliction of emotional distress. I just don't think he would have a very good case. However, if there's an investigation and the department finds that there was excessive force used, because I believe even after he got out of the vehicle, after he was put in handcuffs, he was never actually arrested, but he was cuffed down on the ground. I think there may have been a little bit of an escalation by the police after that physically. That's debatable. But if they continued to use force when it wasn't warranted, then that could actually help him if he were to bring a civil suit for any type of physical injury. But again, he would need damages. And I think it's going to be very hard to prove damages in this case because, you know, unless he was injured, but it didn't seem like he was injured. But he can try to go that intentional infliction of emotional distress route because there was so much publicity on this.
Amy Dash is joining us. She's Odyssey's legal expert. And yeah, I guess, you know, he's telling the cops, I just had surgery on my knee. Is there, like, forcing him to sit down? But then he goes out in the game and scores an 80-yard touchdown and looks like Tyreek Hill. But the emotional part of it and the distress, you could understand. Amy, another serious case here with Deshaun Watson. So a new civil lawsuit filed in Houston on Monday accusing him of sexual assault and battery going back to October of 2020 when he was a member of the Houston Texans. Now, we saw and we talked to you about this quite a bit with the over two dozen women who had accused Deshaun Watson of inappropriate conduct and sexual assault, going back to the masseuse, all those masseuses. How is this, these allegations different from those, if at all?
To me, and this is just my opinion, it sounds like the allegations themselves border on being more serious than some of the allegations that I saw with the two dozen complaints prior. They're calling it sexual assault in a and battery, I believe, in the civil context because there's a civil suit. But if a police report had been filed or were to be filed, it sounds like the allegations here are of rape. And so that makes it more serious.
Why do you think there was not? Would you know a reason why there wasn't a police report filed? And can one be filed now?
That really depends. I believe there could be, but I don't think that it would be successful unless there was some type of evidence that was collected immediately after. For example, did the person go to the hospital? Was there a rape kit done? You know, if there's not evidence, it's very hard to bring these types of cases, and prosecutors sometimes will decline to bring them because it becomes a waste of resources if it's a he said, she said. And we saw this with Julian Edelman. We saw this with Jameis Winston. We saw this with Matt Araiza. They're just, you know, there was not any type of criminal charges brought, even in instances where NFL players were accused and women actually did go to the police. The prosecutors in most of these cases declined to bring the case because of a lack of sufficient evidence.
Amy, you followed a lot of these NFL cases. What do you expect the league to do? Obviously, they've dealt with a lot of Deshaun Watson issues before. Do you think they'll view this as an entirely new thing, or is something that happened in the past going to affect, like when they finalize their last sort of settlement with Watson, does that impact what's happening now?
Well, that's the key question, because after the settlement was finalized, they actually expanded the definition of sexual assault in the NFL discipline policy. They made it much more expansive. They put in that there would be a 6-game suspension for a first offense, but they put in language that could enhance that punishment if there were aggravating factors. And obviously the fact pattern here that's alleged could warrant further suspension. Remember that even though he was not criminally charged, he still did face a suspension, and the league has a right to do that and has done that with a lot of people in the past. Ben Roethlisberger, for example, that was a 6-game and it went down to a 4, but there was no, you know, criminal conviction there. So I think the question is going to be whether they decide to separate these out as two separate things, and if so, are they going to apply the new definition of the policy that's in effect so they absolutely can do it? if they were to apply the new policy with the expanded definition of sexual assault and the expanded punishments, that policy says that a second offense could lead to banishment from the NFL.
Oh, wow. Amy Dash is joining us. She's Odyssey's legal expert. So you think banishment could be on the table here? Because we were going to also ask you about, this is obviously secondary, you know, these allegations are very, very serious, but there is a thought that the team, if these allegations prove to be true, would try to void his contract or try to get out of this massive contract they paid Deshaun Watson. But you're telling us that the, I'll say, lack of a better term, bylaws are now the new enhancements in the CBA, I guess, would put banishment on the table?
Yeah, the discipline policy says second offense, sexual assault, banishment is pretty clear. So the question goes back to, was the first set of punishments, did they apply to sexual assault cases? And if so, would that be considered separate and a first offense? And then the second policy comes in and now applies as a second offense, and then banishment's on the table. In terms of the contract, my understanding is that it's so fully guaranteed. It sets such a precedent in the league that even if the team were to release him or try to void the contract, it would be very difficult to do so. And what would happen is that they'd be left with a lot of dead cap money because of the guarantees that are built into the contract. So my understanding is that it's virtually impossible for them to get out of this contract. And, you know, how they want to handle this, I guess, would be up to them. But sometimes based on the morality of the situation, like what we saw with Matt Araiza, you know, the Bills released him right away. And some people may say prematurely because things changed and the woman dropped the suit. He brought a defamation suit against her, which may have also, you know, factored into why she dropped it. There were a lot of people out there who felt that he was falsely accused and then he was picked up by the Chiefs. So something like that could happen here. So I think maybe the team might want to wait and see, you know, whether there's actually a suit that moves forward. Is this settled? Is there going to be discipline? Are there going to be criminal charges brought? There's a lot that has to happen, I think, before they rush to judgment the way that the Bills did. But, yeah, I think even if they did want to try to get out of the contract, my understanding is that they would just suffer a lot of dead cap money.
Amy, last one for me, and it's about the timeline here with Deshaun Watson. So this suit gets filed on Monday. It's a civil lawsuit. It's been filed in Houston. Just how quickly is the legal process going to work here? Are we going to see Deshaun Watson in some kind of trial this season, or what do you expect?
I think it's going to go very slow. The person who's representing this plaintiff is Tony Busby. So this is the person who represented the majority of accusers back in the 24 cases. So, you know, whether Deshaun Watson is going to want to fight this and, like I said, possibly countersue for defamation or let this legal process play out, or whether he sort of has experienced the way the legal process could play out with an attorney like Busby who may try to put pressure on with the criminal authorities, you know, you just don't know. So he might want to settle this quickly and make it go away. And maybe that's, you know, that could be one of the motivating factors in Busby bringing this case or the plaintiff bringing this case, because you have to remember there's always that presumption of innocence unless there's actual evidence that proves otherwise. So, you know, there could be a factor here where maybe this didn't happen. If it did happen, and that's very well possible, it's very disturbing and shocking. And then the league has to assess whether they want to let somebody like this, based on the evidence of whether this can be proven, continue in the league. So I think it's going to be a slow process to answer your question. And I think the league is going to have to take its time in investigating this and seeing what kind of evidence is available. But it does have a history of disciplining people, even in the absence of evidence in these types of accusatory cases, because of the seriousness of the allegations.
Amy, you're the best. Amy Dash, Odyssey legal expert. Thank you for answering our questions so in plain English for us to understand, and we always appreciate it, Amy.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Amy Dash is the best.
Strikes me how high the stakes are here.
Yeah.
I wasn't really aware. I guess I do remember when that story came along, but how the rules have changed in 2 years. This is a big deal.
Major deal. We'll unpack more of this, and we also have to get to some other NFL stories for you. Do not move. It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DoD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. You know, normally during the NFL season and college football season, I take notes during the weekend to try and nail this. Mm. I was too busy with week one. There was a lot going on.
Okay.
A lot of new...
no notes.
Yeah, new faces, old places, or what's it? New... new place. What's that expression?
Old faces, new places.
Yeah, that would be better. Uh-huh. New faces at old places doesn't even make any sense. Oh. See what I tell you? There was a lot going on week one, so I couldn't even take notes on who was a good defensive player of the week. But I think T.J. Watt seems like an obvious front runner.
Who did this one, Ryan or E.J.?
I picked it up.
That was Ryan. Okay, we have to know who's doing it because this is, we got to try to read your mind a little on who is defensive. I also think that Ryan could have gone with T.J. Watt. That's a really good option.
Yeah, I'll probably win AFC Defense Player of the Week.
I think the Bears defense was also very good, and maybe there could be something there.
I don't know. That
a
was
scoop
more
and
about,
score on a was, bad Will Levis play. That really had more to do with Levis.
Yeah, it felt like a Levis.
Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah, it felt like a Levis thing.
Ryan, who'd you go with?
Javon Holland of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that was a good one.
The forced fumble on Travis Etienne in the third quarter kept it from basically being a 3-score game. And it completely flipped the momentum.
No doubt. Huge, huge momentum flip from Holland. And you were questioning their defense, Pearl, the Miami Dolphins. The defense came up with a huge play.
I mean, honestly, I am quite... That was about the Jags. Once again, I mean, they screwed that up.
Well, you got a quarterback you're paying $200 million to. You got to be able to overcome some of these momentum shifts. You know what I'm saying? But that was a big one.
Everybody's paying their quarterback $200 million. That's 3/4 of the league.
Oh, right. Let's go to our pal Nick in Texas. Nick, are you at a Waffle House right now?
I am at a Waffle House right now, and I'm live here on the scene where the hash browns are griddling, the waffles are being flipped, and my waitress Jessica has been standing here answering questions for me. Yes, I'm live on the scene right now.
Man, Nick, you're like Chopper 4. You're live on the scene. I love it. It's like we've got a news organization with us in Houston. Okay, so the bet is clear. I lost. Dak Prescott signed a massive extension. He's the quarterback of the future for the Dallas Cowboys. Now I have to go to a Waffle House and I have to sit there for 24 hours, and every waffle I eat, 1 hour comes off the time. Now, Nick, do you have a waffle in front of you, or can you see a waffle?
Yes, I just ordered 3 waffles, and she just gave them to me ready to go. And I'm looking at here at the sheet, and it tells me how many calories each waffle is, too.
Oh, don't tell me.
Nick, you got to tell us. Maggie, you have to go earmuffs if you want to, but I need to know this fact, Nick.
Okay. The one classic waffle is 410 calories. Now, that doesn't include, like, your toppings if you want a pecan, chocolate chip, peanut butter chocolate chip, or
yes,
blueberries, whatever.
And those, you just ordered 3 of those, dude?
I did ask Jessica, though, how many eggs does it take to make an omelet? She said, typically it's 2, unless you want to order something bigger.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, Perloff doesn't have to eat the cheese omelets, and so we don't need that one. But thank you for asking, because you're thorough. You're on the scene as the Maggie and Perloff unofficial correspondent. We appreciate that. Can you ask Jessica, is it okay for me to go and sit there for 24 hours?
Excuse me. So is it okay for a guest to come in and just sit for 24 hours as long as they're kind of eating constantly?
If you're eating, then nobody's going to make them leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
But wait.
As long as you're eating, you can continue to sit here.
Yeah.
So for 24 hours, you can sit here.
Okay, casino rules. As long as I'm at the table and they're dealing me cards, I can still give free drinks. I love this. Okay.
But how are you going to eat for 24 hours? Well,
I it's not going to be 24 hours. I'm going to eat. I'm hoping I can put down at least 15 waffles.
Oh, okay. 15 is, so I just had you at 16.
Okay, maybe I can do 16.
At times 410, that's,
Nick,
wow, that's 6,150 calories.
Don't
Maggie.
Tell me. That, Nick, can you ask Jessica another question? Just in her experience, what's the most waffles she's seen one person eat in one sitting?
Jessica, what is the most waffles you've ever seen somebody eat in one setting?
Probably 3. Don't eat typically too many at one time per day. They pull up in your stomach.
She says typically only about 3.
3? Oh, my God.
Yes.
I got to get 3 down so in like big. The first 20 minutes. Because they're so big.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Most people that are just sitting down, you know, because they're so big, they only get about 3.
Oh, I am so royally screwed. Nick, thank you for checking in from the Waffle House. You're the absolute best. We're up against the top of the break. Enjoy your breakfast.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
My 3 waffles.
Yeah, your 3 waffles, and then go catch a nap after that. Thank you, Nick. Say hi to the family for us.
Interesting dilemma it just raised. I mean, you can add chocolate chips and stuff. That sounds delicious.
Peanut butter chocolate chips?
Yeah.
Know that.
I think those are calories you're going to have to take on, Matt. That sounds amazing.
If I must, I must. Maybe we say RIP to the Waffle House CEO, Walt M. Emmer, who passed away tragically this weekend. That was such a sad news. Thank you to Ryan Botcher. Thank you to Nick Theodoro. Thank you to EJ Stewart, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Amy Dash, our legal expert who joined us, who was fantastic, breaking down Tyreek Hill and Deshaun Watson's separate issues. See you tomorrow.